Thank you for downloading session one of the Revival Culture Conference from Elohim Christian Church. This message is brought by Mike and Kay Chance.
We have a great theme this weekend, and it is revival culture. We call it revival culture because we believe that culture is really important in order to not only have an experience of what God is doing. God wants us to experience Him. He wants us to have great experiences. Mm-hmm. But the purpose of those experiences are to equip us and to enable us to go forward and do His purposes, do His work. So He wants us to have great experiences, but in order for those experiences to be more than just having fun in the presence of God. How many of you know the presence of God is fun? And it is great, but God wants us to have more than that, and so it's important that we have a culture, because a culture is what contains. And when I say contain, I don't mean limit God in any way, but I just mean that it's not like water being poured out on the ground and it just dries into the, it just soaks into the ground and then it's gone. That's what an experience is without the culture. So we want the water of life, and God gives us the promise, gather my people and I will give water. But there's principles that help us to contain the water that God gives us so that it's more than just a good time in the presence of God. Yeah. It equips us and enables us to do what we're called to do. Yeah. And it keeps the abiding presence of God. And I believe that is culture. And I believe what you have, and we're going to be looking at the book of Acts this weekend, but I believe that what you have in the book of Acts is a people that are being formed into that new wineskin, because so that the wine doesn't go out. The wine's not just given, and God is pouring out His new wine in these days. And I am convinced the church needs to get drunk again.
Yes.
I need to get drunk again. Because the church was born drunk. That's how we came about. We were born drunk. And it's time, and here in a former pub, I mean, let's go for it. The guy wants to give the new wine. Yeah. But he wants that new wine. He wants us to be able to sustain the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's more than an experience. And that comes from a culture. And I believe that in the book of Acts, what we have is a people being formed into that culture or that new wineskin to contain the new wine so that the wine doesn't spill out and it's lost. So if you will, turn with me in the book of Acts and chapter 1. There are certain key elements in the book of Acts that we're going to be looking at in these 2 days. Certain key elements. And it says here, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up to heaven. So this is the former book that he's talking about, is the Gospel of Luke, of course. And so the Gospel of Luke is, because Luke wrote the book of Acts and Luke, the Gospel of Luke is an account of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Okay? That's the book of the Gospel of Luke. But the book of Acts is what God continues, or what Jesus continues to do through the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. I like this title, the book of all that Jesus, the exalted, risen, exalted King Jesus does through the church in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty long title, but it's a good one. Okay? Or I also like this. The book of, it's sometimes it's called the Acts of the Apostles. I like the book of apostolic action. The book of apostolic action, because that's what we want to have. We want to have apostolic action. And so in order to have apostolic action, you have to get back to the apostolic. It doesn't mean that you have to be an apostle. It has to do with tying in or hooking in with the apostolic vision. Because the apostolic always takes you back to the center of everything, and the center of everything is Jesus. Okay, so the first key element in the book of Acts and a core value for a culture of revival is the awareness, the revelation, and living in the awareness of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Okay? The book of Luke ends with the ascension. The book of Acts begins with the ascension, because the ascension is a key element in how they were able to form a culture which literally turned their generation on their head. Kay was telling me something that Leonard Ravenhill had said, that the church was like a baby being placed in the Grand Canyon and having to crawl its way out. That's the circumstance that the church was born in. It was born in adverse situations, and it didn't let those adverse situations bring them down. We're living in interesting times, but we can't let the world around us pull us down. We have to live in another consciousness, and that is the awareness. I'm not talking about an Eastern religious consciousness where you're conscious of nothing. I'm talking about being actively conscious of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, and this is the theme of the New Testament.
Yes.
Because without the ascension, then we're on our own. But I love that in the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus went up before the disciples, and then it says the disciples went out. And of course we know that there was something in between Jesus going up and the disciples going out. It was the Spirit coming down. Is Jesus at the right hand of God is the reason that the Holy Spirit is poured out.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I think we'll probably be looking at a lot of that tonight and praying and releasing God's destiny for this particular house. I believe God has a destiny. He's called this house he has a calling on this house, a destiny on this house. And we're going to be joining with you tonight to release God's destiny for this house, for what God wants to do. I believe He wants to open a corridor tonight of glory so that you realize what God has in store for you. I don't mean just that you acknowledge it. I don't mean that you just know it. I mean that it comes to pass what God has purposed in His heart for you. This church has a calling. This church has a destiny. This house has a destiny, and God wants to release something. And that's going to be by a consciousness of the resurrection and exaltation of Jesus Christ, and it's going to be accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
That God wants to release something. And I believe one of the basic things of that is the consciousness of the exaltation of Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of God. And the book of Acts opens with this, and the book of Acts, actually, you see in that the church practically applying the consciousness of Jesus' ascension. For them, it was not just a doctrine. For them, it was not just something that they that belonged to the church statement. It was something that they lived in continually, day by day, and they practically applied it to everyday life. When Peter went to the gate beautiful and told that lame man, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk." When he explained this miracle later, he said, "The God of our fathers has glorified Jesus, and that's the reason that this man is standing before you healthy." They lived in a consciousness. They knew that Jesus at the right hand of God, having been glorified, has a significant meaning in that the healing of that man. And we want to lay hold of that. We want to lay hold of that glorious revelation. Jesus exalted, full of majesty, reigning over all. All the seats of government are under his feet. Everything has been given to him, and he has given everything to the church. Amen. To rule in his name. See, the ascension of Jesus at the right hand of God, he is exalted over every authority. I believe that the disciples lived in the consciousness that Jesus is the head over every authority, over every throne, over every dominion, over everything that has a name. When Paul wrote that to the Ephesians about God opening our eyes by the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would see, among other things, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working, listen to this, according to the working of his mighty power, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and everything that has a name. When he wrote that, he was writing that not having read some great book, but he wrote that having the awareness of how important Jesus' exaltation is. And I love the way he says that. Exalted over everything that has a name, and listen to this, not only in this age, but in the age to come. The first time I read that, I thought it was a typo error. Because my normal way of thinking would be not only in all the ages to come, but now. But Paul was saying, listen, you know what God has been doing through Jesus now? You know how exalted Jesus is now? They knew how exalted he was. They knew how high and lifted up he was. They had experienced the exaltation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't just something that they were familiar with. They had an awareness of that because they saw it in action every day. Apostolic action based upon the exaltation of Jesus. So Paul was able to say, listen, what he's doing now, he's going to be doing for all eternity. He's not only exalted now, he's exalted in all eternity. We do in our day need to turn that around. Lauren Cunningham one time said to us when we were Bible students, he said, how many of you believe that Jesus did all the miracles that are written in the gospel? And we all raised our hands. And he said, how many of you believe that he is going to turn the present order of things into the new heaven and new earth when he comes? And we all raised our hands. And he said, you are like most Christians in the world. You believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. See? But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And he is exalted right now. And when he comes again, he will not be more exalted than he is right now. The only difference is that we will see it completely. We will behold his glory completely. But God wants to release something in the church now, that we are aware of his exaltation being exalted over every authority and power. He is the Lord of all. This message needs to ring in our ears. Just lift up your hands right now. And just begin to speak in tongues. Just begin to pray in tongues right now. Oh God, shikalamaka. Jesus, we praise you. 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 Hallelujah, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shikitibaki. Urandaya lamakataya. Thank you, Father God. Father, we just thank you this weekend, O God, for an expanded revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus at the center of it all. High and lifted up, magnified, glorified for all us to see. Open the eyes of our hearts, O God, that we see the ascended, risen, ascended, glorious Jesus Christ. And that has an impact on our hearts and our lives, O God. That ignites a faith in us, O God, to lay hold of all that you are for this generation, to lay hold of your purposes for our lives individually and corporately, O God. Lord, that we are joined together and we are magnifying the name of Jesus. And out of this comes an authority, Lord God, that heals the sick, that raises the dead, that brings about miracles and power workings in our lives, O God. Releasing the power of God in a broken world, O God. Ooh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord over every demonic force. Jesus Christ is Lord over every sickness, over every disease. Jesus Christ is Lord over every brokenness and unwholeness. Jesus Christ is Lord over every demonic hold. Jesus Christ is Lord over every perverted habit of sin. Jesus Christ is Lord that breaks the chains of evil, sets the captives free. Jesus Christ is Lord, having conquered principalities and powers and made an open display of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Nothing could hold him back. Death could not hold him. God raised him from the dead. He has overcome through his death. Death forevermore. He is exalted. He is risen forevermore. He is at the right hand of God.
Yes,
Lord. You are the Lord. Ha ha. Over every demonic religion, in Jesus' name, trying to compete for the hearts and the minds of the people of Britain. Jesus Christ is the Lord, having defeated those principalities. Jesus Christ is Lord, seated at the right hand of God, who has given us weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the destroying of fortresses, and to bring down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we extend that lordship right now corporately. We release that lordship, we release that authority corporately here in this room, but flowing out of this room into this community. In Jesus' name, we break the hold of the enemy holding on to the souls and lives of people. In the name of Jesus, we release them from his grip. We release him from his perversion. We release them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's authority in the name of Jesus. And I believe that the church went through the world that they were living in, not under a cloud, but over the cloud. They were flying over the cloud. They were not looking up and begging God to help them. They were not even begging God to come again before they backslide. They were going through this life, and they were looking from the sunshine view, and they were exercising that authority in Jesus' name. We need to have a revelation of the exaltation of Jesus Christ, because it is through the exaltation of Jesus, as I said, that the Holy Spirit has been sent to us. We have, we have a right, a God-given right to an open heaven. We don't have to cry out to God to open the heaven. We have a God-given right for an open heaven, because Jesus has already ascended higher than the highest heavens, and he opened the heavens for us on the way. And when he sat down at the right hand of God, look at this in Acts 2. This is, by the way, what Peter is preaching in this, in Acts 2. This is apostolic preaching. And he's saying here that verse 32, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Jesus at the right hand of God is the key to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk tonight more on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as I said. But I want to say right now that the key to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is faith in Jesus at the right hand of God. Just look at John chapter 11 real quick. Chapter 7, I'm sorry. John 7. Verse 37, verses that you know by heart. On the last and greatest day of the feast, this was the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So what was he saying when he said, "He that believes in me"? He wasn't just talking about general belief in him, but he was talking about putting our faith in the glorified Christ. Putting our faith, putting our eyes on the glorified Christ. As Paul said to the Colossians, because you have been raised up with him, Put your mind, set your affections on things above, not on this, on the earth. Things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. They had their focus on Christ at the right hand of God. They had their focus on Him at the right hand of God. And this is what released that river of life flowing out of them, healing the sick, raising the dead, bringing captives out of captivity, breaking the chains of sin and demonic forces in people's life, bringing people into the kingdom of God. It was because they put their faith in Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. And because of that, out of their mouth, out of their innermost being, through their mouths, through their hands, out of their bodies, through the deepest part of them, out of their bodies flowed the river of life. And I believe that God wants us to put our eyes on Jesus. How do we do this? Worship is one of the most powerful ways to do this. To worship God, to worship Jesus at the right hand of God, to purposely fix our eyes on His glory. That's why I like to sing songs about the victory. That's why I like to sing songs about Jesus being exalted. That's why I like to sing songs that Jesus Christ, He bore our sins on the cross, but God raised Him from the dead, and now He is exalted to the highest place. Now He is the King of all kings, the Lord of lords, releasing faith in Jesus at the right hand of God through praise, through worship, through preaching, through praying. Kay's going to be talking tomorrow about prayer. Breakthrough prayer. Breakthrough prayer comes from praying from the right hand of God, because Paul says we were raised with Him. We were made alive with Him, but we were also raised up with Him, and we've been seated with Him at the right hand of God in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And when we pray from that place, that's breakthrough prayer. Are you there? Jesus at the right hand of God. The exaltation of Jesus Christ means that Jesus has returned to the original glory that He had before the foundations of the earth. Just like He prayed in the garden that God would restore that glory that He had before He became a man. When He went back to heaven, He still is a man. But He has been restored to that original glory. He didn't go back to heaven as a humiliated man. He went back to heaven as the glorified Christ. He has received the glory, the divine glory that He had when He passed through the gates and went to sit down at the right hand of God. Everyone knew that is God who became a man. He was made lower than the angels for a little while, but now He is crowned with glory and honor, and every angel in heaven saw Him and said, "This is our God." That's why I love the book of Hebrews, because in the first chapter he talks about Jesus being great because He is God. But you know, in the second chapter of Hebrews, he talks about Jesus being great because He is man. Because that's the second thing about the exaltation of Jesus. Not only did He receive the glory that He had before the foundation of the earth, but He glorified humanity in a way that had never been before. Wow. not only did he honor humanity in becoming a man, he glorified humanity in the resurrection and exaltation. Seated at the right hand of God is a man. Is that amazing or what? See, God, I like the way Spurgeon said that, heaven had to endure humanity now, but it's glorified. There is a man at the right hand of God because, you see, Jesus, when he won that authority in power, he didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to. He was always the Lord. He was always the one with authority. But we had lost out. Man had lost out. And man was created to rule with God. And so when Jesus won back that authority, he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. And so right now, there is a man seated at the right hand of God. Humanity is glorified in a form that never was before. Now, Jesus is the first fruits of glorified humanity. And when we look at him, we realize what our ultimate destiny also is. Wow. That's where we're going. He's the first fruits, and the first fruits was it, when they harvested the first fruits of the crop, that meant that the rest of the crop was going to be just like it. So when we look at Jesus and we look at him in his exaltation, we realize what our ultimate destiny is. And how encouraging is that? That blows a hole in all hopelessness. And hope is what we need more than ever. That blessed hope, the hope of eternity, the hope of where we're going. And not only to just hope for it for the future, but take what we know belongs to us in the eternal future and bring it into this life now. Wow. The exaltation of Jesus Christ also means that a reign has started that has never been there before, and that we have entered into that reign. We have entered in to that rule. Jesus Christ is ruling now. He's not waiting until he comes again. He's ruling now in the midst of his enemies. One of the most the most quoted psalm in the New Testament is Psalm 110. Sit at my right hand. This, I like, the word of the Lord for my Lord. Sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies the footstool of your feet. You are ruling in the midst of your enemies. He's not just ruling when he comes again. He's ruling now. But he has joined us to rule with him. I love that. I love that. I just look once again in Ephesians 1. I read the prayer, but I want to just read the last part of this prayer. Where it says, he's been exalted far above all rule and authority. I'm starting in verse 21. Rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Wow. God gave him authority over everything for the church. It was for us. It wasn't for himself. God gave him authority over everything, over all creation, for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. the fullness of Him that fills all in all. He is the one who fills all in all. And we, the church is the fullness. The church is the fullness of Christ. The church completes Christ. Paul said that the glory of a man is his wife. The glory of a man is his wife. That means if your wife is looking good, it makes you look good. That means if your wife is prospering, if your wife is doing well, it makes you look like you're doing well. See, Jesus is not afraid of us having glory. It's His goal. He's not jealous. He's not an insecure husband that doesn't want his wife to get ahead. He wants his wife to get ahead. He encourages her continually. He devotes himself to the calling of the church. Jesus gave himself for the church. I love that. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I was preaching recently in a church in Germany, an international church, where I was asked to speak in English and it was translated into German. And because I usually preach in German, I understood everything she was saying, the translator was saying. And I kept reading from Ephesians 5, Christ loved the church. And she kept translating, Christ loves the church. Because somehow people think that if Paul's saying Christ loved the church, that's in the past tense and now he doesn't anymore. So they want to make sure that you understand he still loves us. Listen, if he loved us once, he still loves us. But what Paul is saying when he puts it in the past tense, as he does almost every single time when he says Christ loved us and gave himself for us. What he's saying there is, I believe, two things. Number one, when he gave himself for us, it was out of love. While he was doing that, he was loving us. That was an expression of love. But I believe it's even deeper than that. I believe that what Paul is saying in Ephesians is that the love that Christ has for the church didn't start when he became a man. It didn't start when he went to the cross. It didn't even start when he created man in the first place. It started in the eternal longings and desires of God. Way once upon eternity, God loved the church. He saw the church, and Christ saw his reward. He saw the joy that was set before him, and he loved us, and he gave himself for us to cleanse us, to wash us, to sanctify us, and to make us glorious. That's his goal. So he's not worried about us moving out. He's not worried about us being great. He's not jealous. He's not insecure. He wants that. He wants us to rise up. He wants us to come to our destiny. He wants us to be glorious. He wants our glory to shine forth. He wants us, united with him, to share in his glory, because the more glorious we become, the more glorious he looks. So he's sharing his glory with his people. We are the fullness of him that fills all in all. We are the completion of Christ. We are what makes Christ complete. You might look around you and say, whoa, we're the completion of Christ? But see, that's the thing. You have to look back to what God sees. That's the purpose of this book. takes us back to see how God sees everything. And to live in the light of that, to live in the good of that, to live in the power of what God has spoken over us. Is that amazing or not? I think it's amazing. I just lift your hands right now. Just say, thank you, Jesus. How amazing. How amazing. How amazing is your love. How amazing are your purposes for us, oh God. Oh Lord, we come out of every poverty spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, we come out of every poverty thinking. We come out of every poor me thinking. We come out of every little thinking, oh God. Lord, and we arise. We arise, we humbly receive, O God, your glorious purpose for our lives, O God. Lord, we humbly receive your invitation into the inner circle, into the glory of God. Lord, we humbly receive and we humbly go through that open door. Lord, we don't have a closed door before us. We have an open door before us. Heaven is open before us.
Thank you, Jesus.
We just come into the place, oh God. We come into that other dimension. We thank you, Lord. You open our eyes so that we see the two camps, oh God. Lord, we thank you that you bring us into another dimension of life, Lord God, where we see beyond the wall, where we see beyond, Lord, the visible, where we see beyond the core, and we go into the deepest part. We see beyond the shell.
Yes.
And we go to the center of all things, Lord God. Whew. And there you are. There you are, all glorious within and without. There you are, exalted in power, exalted and radiant in glorious majesty and holiness. And there we are with you. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Just ask him to open that up for your own heart. Ask him that to open that up to you as an individual. Ask him that, just ask him for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that this becomes bigger and bigger inside of you. Just ask him for that. Ask him that for yourself. Just pray that as an individual. Father God, just receive now that he's working in your own heart to enlarge your capacity to receive more and more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Just want to add a few thoughts, and then Mike's coming back, but I really do believe this is a key revelation. Position to the end times, because the world is so dark and so heavy, and the darkness, it says, when the darkness is covering the earth, arise, shine. And I believe the only place where the end time church can really live and function in victory and life and joy and really in the power that God wants is if we really believe this, yeah. and take that position. This is for me, I think, why it's so important to Mike and I, and why everywhere we go, we try to get this revelation to bring people up above the darkness, up above the demonic, up above all the that's going on in the world, to that place of dominion, glory, and victory, is because we came to Germany 40 years ago this year. And, of course, to make it 40 years on the mission field and keep your joy and keep your victory and do something for God is the grace of God. But I'm always happy that I'm still praising God. But I have to say, we had something in our hearts a little more than I don't know what. And what really motivated us was the glory of God. But another thing that really is in us till this day is we're not going to let the devil get us down. And because we came to Germany now, this was 40 years ago, you know, the war and the whole thing in Europe, and Germany's part in it. When we came there 40 years ago, there was a cloud over Germany of oppression, darkness, blackness over that land, that when we came there, we couldn't even lift our heads. When you went to a church, it was like you were being choked to death. It was like a heavy black cloud was over Germany. And, well, we could have said, we're going home and run home. It was so bad. And we didn't really understand it at first. And actually, I was only 21, right out of Bible school, saved, thought we could conquer the world. And I wasn't expecting to run into a brick wall and feel... And I began to feel God is dead, or I must be the worst sinner in the world, because what happened to God, and where's God, and God, there was no reality, it was just a black cloud. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit, right in the beginning, when we were getting more and more inwardly chained, inwardly wrapped up in, I like to call it the gray zone, or the twilight zone, or... I'm sure you've experienced it when you feel there's a cloud wrapped around you and you're just depressed and where's God? And so praying one day with my sister, she's crying, we're praying, God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit, who is so faithful, came from the inside and in those days, 74, you didn't hear the word spiritual warfare. We never had that as a theme in school. But that came into my spirit, spiritual warfare. And the Holy Spirit just brought scripture after scripture after scripture, and I was saying it. And as we proclaimed it, it was just like a sword. You could feel cutting through, cutting through, cutting through, cutting through. And especially these scriptures that Mike is preaching, that we're preaching, I was confessing, praying, and taking that position above the darkness of Germany. Yeah. I was like saying, I have been delivered out of the domain of darkness. The domain of darkness and all the rulers over this nation, I'm delivered out of them, and I am transferred into the kingdom of God's Son. Yeah. And I was saying, I have been life with Christ, raised with Christ, and seated with Christ. Mike just said, Jesus is at the right hand of God. Well, we have been brought up there now in the Spirit to rule and reign and have dominion. Yeah. And so the Holy Spirit was just like a sword, taking those scriptures and actually putting my feet down on them, pulling that up into my spirit. And we could feel for the first time it was. And then, of course, we got up, picked ourselves up, started to pray, started to worship, danced. We did everything we could to break through the heavy spirits. And actually, we had to do that every day for the first year in Germany. It would come back. And every day we'd get above it. And we could actually feel when we were above it. We were free, we could see, we could think, God was real. But we had to exercise our muscles. It didn't just happen. We had to take the sword of the Spirit. We had to, what Ephesians 6 says, become or strengthen yourself. Be strong in the Lord. So actually, when you apply these truths, and to me this is the key for the end time church, because the darkness is spreading. The oppression is spreading. The spirits of fear are spreading. The devil, you know, all the sin and stuff released in the nations. And I believe that this message is that Jesus is Lord, exalted, and we are connected to him now.
Yes.
And we are not under the oppression and darkness in this world. We are already delivered out of it.
Yeah.
We are already connected to the head, growing up into him in all things. Where is he? At the right hand of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is really a place for our spirit.
Yeah.
And we can take these truths, and they're more than just truths. And Jesus is Lord is my favorite thing, because if Jesus is Lord, every other devil, demon, darkness, spirit, sickness is under his authority.
Yeah.
And I'm attached to him above these things. I just want to read a few scriptures because I really believe this is the key to living in victory, living in joy, living connected to the head, yes, receiving continually the flow of the Holy Spirit, breaking through all these other things, that this message, Jesus is Lord, we are connected with him, is crucial. I'm just going to read a few scriptures. Colossians, Mike was talking about that, but Paul, in the book of Acts, of course, they lived in this revelation. Jesus said, I'm ascending back to the Father, and I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. He told them the whole time, I'm going back to heaven, but I'm taking you in.
Yes.
To the Father, into the glory, and into that place. And that is where we are. So if, say, there's Jesus at the right hand of God, then there's the demonic, the spirits in the air, and these hordes of darkness, and then we're people down here. But we've been taken in with Christ. Christ is the head. We're connected to the head, and that realm is under our feet. And I refuse to live under the oppression of the enemy. I love the scripture. Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all oppressed of the devil. Who's the oppressor? The devil. And we don't have to live in the twilight zone. We don't have to live in confusion. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in that realm where the enemy's trying to control all things. But I just want to read a few scriptures. So Colossians, these are so dynamite if we really believe them, because I do believe a revival culture is connected to the head.
Yeah.
A revival culture is every member growing up into Christ.
Mm.
And Christ is the head of all things, so we're above all of this. We're actually a ruling community. The fullness of Christ is flowing through us into the world. And we're in it, but we're not of it.
Right.
We're not under the darkness.
Yes.
We are delivered out from the devil's domain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like to think of it like that. When he tries to oppress my head and put these clouds over me, I remind him, I'm above, he's under my feet.
Amen.
He's under my feet.
Yeah.
And I refuse that. And I think Mike and I have this so much in us living in Germany. And Vader, either in Germany you rise up or you go under.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And if you go under, it's pretty bad. And that's why our Bible school, we took all the students, worship, and we would teach them to break up, go up. And we created a throne zone, or a God's realm where Germans could come, and they come up to this mountain, and it's in Germany, and that's what we wanted to prove,
right,
that it's possible, because the Germans go to a revival wherever it is, but we wanted to prove it's possible in Germany to open the heavens and live in the freedom and the life of God. And that's what the church, we need to be filled, pulsating with this life. Anyway, Colossians 2, I like this, it says, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. Everything has to be according to Christ.
Oh, yeah.
He's the power. He's the victory. He is the truth. Okay. For in him dwells all the fullness of God, of the Godhead bodily, or in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And the next verse is the hammer. And you have this fullness in him. And then it says, who is the head of all principality and power? So I just love to think of it. In here, there's God. All the fullness of God is in Christ.
Yeah.
In bodily form, as a man. And then it says, all of that fullness is in me.
Yeah.
In us.
Yes.
We are filled with the life of God. And that's living in a revival culture. But then it says, and he is the head of all principalities and power. And then, of course, Colossians 2, it continues to show us that we were baptized with him, buried with him, crucified with him. And then it says in 15 that he disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them through the cross. And then in verse 3, what Mike was just reading, if you are raised with Christ... Okay, Jesus won this victory, stripped the devil. He has all the fullness. He's the head. And then it says, if you were raised with Christ, so if we live in the new creation reality, if we live in the kingdom dimension, if we're connected to the head, and we are.
Right.
We are translated into that place. If you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Woo! That's where we live.
Yeah.
Seek the things above. There's the glory. There's the victory. There's the dominion. All the blessings in heaven belong to us.
Amen.
And of course, they're pouring down in the Holy Ghost right into us.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
We are connected. And these truths and this reality of this kingdom and this power, the more we really live in that, we will create a culture of life. People will walk in, it will be pulsating. And if we don't allow that depression, that oppression, that, you all know it, the clouds, the gray. Okay, so if we are raised with Christ into the kingdom of light, into the new creation, seek the things, and I love that word, things, invisible realities of heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven is real, more real than the creation.
Yeah.
Heaven existed first, and then out of that came the visible.
Yeah.
So there's a real throne in heaven. There is someone on the throne.
Yeah.
There is that, and there's all the resources of God. Of course, that's what we'll talk about tomorrow in prayer. And so, bringing heaven to earth, but we have to come up to heaven, and then we just bring it down.
Yes.
And it really is, it's a faith position.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's everything in the world. Or if you want to even make it more simple, it's like, make sure when you live, wherever you do, start from victory.
Yeah.
Don't start in defeat. He won the victor's crown. He ascended. He's been crowned King of Kings. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're growing up into him. We're connected with him. We're born of him. We're coming down with him. We're born of the Spirit. And we start from that victory. We don't have to work up to the victory. We don't work ourselves up. We could never get up. We went up and went in with him.
Yeah, that's good.
And that is to me everything. And then to just take that, to believe that, to live in that, to refuse to be underneath any of these principalities, powers. So set your mind, your affection, your focus, your orientation on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. We have died to this old creation. We are dead to the pull of the world. We're dead to all of this. This world is really on its way to destruction. Not the earth, but the world system. The demonic system is going to be judged. Mike said the scripture, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus has them all under our feet, and right now we are with him, bringing the enemies under his footstool. And we're not coming under the devil's power. We're bringing him under. I think position, he made us kings and priests. Our position in your spirit man is so important. And then we can release the healings. We can release the whole life of God flow. Like Mike said, the rivers. We come, we believe in Christ glorified, we're connected, we drink, and then we're releasing that life of God all over. And so, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Okay. I just want to read one or two other scriptures real quick. Hebrews 12. This scripture is just living for me more and more. Talking about this heavenly position, this heavenly place where we have come, where we are citizens. Oh! We've got the heavenly passport. We belong. Our names are written in heaven. We're kingdom citizens of the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom that's increasing and the kingdom that will never end. Just want to read real quick. Hebrews 12, starting with verse 22. It's talking about the glorious company of all the people that are registered and live in heaven. And it says, you have come, but you have come. We didn't come to Mount Sinai, where God gave the law, and the whole message was, don't come close or you'll die. And everyone was so afraid. But you have come. This is where we've come. This is where we're welcome. This is the kingdom we've been born into. You have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion was where David had his tent, where David had his kingdom throne and position. Mount Zion is the ruling community, the government center of the whole earth. We have come, and we're to the throne room of God. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. We have come. Yeah. We're not going there. We're already in our spirits connected with heaven. We have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So Paul says our citizenship is in heaven. That's our place. Maybe this is also so real to me because Mike and I, as I said, we're missionaries. And we don't really feel like we belong in Germany or America. And for a long time, I felt so rootless. But now I know where I belong. I'm home. No, I make that really my home. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. We've come to the throne room where all the angels, thousands and tens of thousands, are. That's Revelation 4. We've come into that community. And when we gather to worship, when we gather in prayer, that's where we come. And we come above the darkness, all the powers of the devil. And remember, too, when you come, only one third of the angels fell. Two thirds are still on God's side.
Yep.
So it's looking pretty good for us. Okay. And then we've come to the angelic citizens. And we've come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. That's us. Yeah. We're the church of the firstborn. We're not there yet, but our names are registered. We belong. We're there in our spirits. Yeah. Ooh, and so I always feel like, too, when I'm worshiping or I'm with a small group of Christians, and you come into that realm of worship, you feel like you're still with, you feel so big. You feel like you're part of something incredible. You're coming in And we're joining with the worship of the angels and all the saints that's arising. We're part. I never see myself as part of a small group. I can be in a small group, but I am connected and part of a worldwide gathering in the presence of God. And we're just coming right up there with all the others. We have come to the whole church that are there now in the Spirit. I'm really saying this is, for me, for the end time church, if you read the book of Revelation, whenever it pictures the church, they're in heaven worshiping. Whether we're still on the earth, they always call them those who dwell in heaven. Because that's where we dwell. And so, okay, and then we've come to God, the judge of all. So we've come to God's judgment seat, to his throne seat, and we've been declared righteous. But God is going to judge everything. When we're joined into that place, we can stand before God, the judge of all. And this is another incredible thing. Who's all there? The spirits of just men made perfect. That's talking about everyone who died in Christ, everyone who ever belonged to God. They don't have their glorified bodies yet, but they're there. They have perfected spirits, and they're there in heaven with God.
Wow.
When we die, it says we go immediately into God's presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we all get the glorified body together when Jesus comes. The dead rise first, then we. We're all come get that together. They're not perfect yet. They're waiting. But they're all there. I love that scripture where Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of all the family in heaven and on earth. Part of the family's in heaven already, and part is on earth. We have friends in heaven already up there. You probably have some friends up there. And they're in the presence of God. And when we come into God's presence, it's the whole company. Woo! It's amazing. And then we come, so this is like the heavenly realm. This is where God is bringing us. And he wants us to really see there's resources, everything we need, the victory of Christ, the Lamb in glory, who's won it and pouring out that victory through his Spirit, through us on the earth. Christ, the great high priest, mediating in heaven. And it says to Jesus, we've come to Jesus when we come into the throne room, when we're connecting. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And that, to me, means the new covenant is he's continually pouring out the Holy Spirit to work in us, to will and do his good pleasure. When we come to God, when you connect, you're living in heaven, you connect with Christ, but Christ is pouring into us by his Spirit. So the worship brings us in, the prayer, we come up, we abide, and the Spirit of Christ flows through us and out of us, mediating the new covenant, continually living to pour out that Spirit, his Spirit, in us and through us, and continual flow of that river. And make sure you tell yourself every morning, I'm breathing the air of heaven. I have fresh air today. Ooh, hallelujah. I live in that. Okay. And we come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks. So the blood is speaking better things than that of Abel. And so Abel's blood was crying for revenge. But Christ's blood is on the altar of the throne before God, or the mercy seat. And that blood is speaking for forgiveness, speaking righteousness, speaking blessing, speaking prosperity, speaking peace with God. That blood is speaking for you. Speaking access, speaking you're righteous. We have access by the precious blood, but the blood is speaking. It's done. It's paid for. It's complete. The sins are forgiven. Forgiveness.
Yes.
So these are truths that I believe the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. I believe this with my whole heart because I do feel the heaviness is just almost unbearable and getting harder. And if you don't understand that, and when we gather, that we're gathering with the whole community in God's throne room, and we have access, and we have a place of dominion with Christ. And the enemy, we're not under his darkness. And so this is, I believe, the early church. They saw Jesus before their eyes died. They saw him raised from the dead. And they saw him teaching them about the kingdom for 40 days. They saw him ascend up into heaven. They waited 10 days. And then the spirit of the glorified Christ, the power of God, came into their lives. And they had a mentality of advance. Pushing forward over all the earth. So, I think this is a real key. There's all kinds of scriptures, but I'm going to give it back to Mike. But just to say, we were in a conference in Germany preaching on this, and it was really cool at the end of the service, or what in the night. I don't even know how it happened. We didn't even really lead it. But 12 men came up, and they felt, or someone felt, or whoever it was really important that they didn't just hear it, but that they received by faith this position of victory, or the victor's crown, that they actually took what God gave us and who he's made us. And I think this is like a real key to this day, where you hear all over, if you're listening to what God is saying all over, he's speaking about our identity.
Yeah.
We have to live in the identity of God, of who God says we are.
Yes. Yes.
And so that was really, for me, really an important night when these 12 men, especially the men, said I forget how it went, but they came, they prayed, they took it, they received it, and they really rose up to live in that, what God has given to us. Back to my.
I'm going to play for you a piece of a CD, a track of a CD that we just recently made. And it's the theme of it is on Ephesians. And it's this particular track is on the body of Christ. So I'm going to play that, and then we'll see what happens after that. Okay. So what I would like to do before we go is just to repeat that last part, to say it together. So if you would stand up, I'm going to read it out, and then you can repeat after me, okay, this bold declaration. We call forth this church.
We call forth this church.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
Okay, now remember, we're speaking this out and we're calling it forth, okay? We call forth this church.
We call forth this church.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
All the members of the body.
All the members of the body.
Are rising and shining.
Are rising and shining.
Like luminaries in a dark world.
Like luminaries in a dark world.
Holding forth the word of life.
Holding forth the word of life.
I am a living member.
I am a living member.
Of the body of the anointed one.
Of the body of the anointed one.
Okay, let's say that again. I am a living member of the body of the anointed one. Because his anointing is on me.
Because his anointing is on me.
I have power.
I have power.
Power to transform.
Power to transform.
Power to transform every area.
Power to transform every area.
Power to transform every area where I have responsibility. Power to transform every area where I have responsibility. I take my place.
I take my place.
With this church.
With this church.
To reign with Christ now.
To reign with Christ now.
Let's say that again. I take my place. I take my place with this church to reign with Christ now. Together with others all over the world.
Together we love others all over the world.
I decree that in every nation,
in this region, in this city,
the gospel of the glorious kingdom
will not only be preached,
but demonstrated in fullness of power by the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we call forth this church. This is the church that you see in your heart. And we call forth this church, O God. This church rising up, Lord. We see this church rising up all over, O God. Lord, this is a new day, and we call forth a new day.
Yes.
We say, heaven is coming to earth. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we lift up our hands today, and we open the gates.
Yes.
We open the gates.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father God.